universe.
My name, of course, is Warren Johnson.
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky. I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like a parkour champion.
You got me mad now.
What is your name?
As always, with my man, Pots and Pans, Nick Ficone.
That's me.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
You know, you got a back, Nick.
I don't really know us like you think that you do.
I'm Ryan Isley.
What is he doing?
My God! Is he the third man?
He's the third man!
What the hell is going on here?
Straight Shooters is, the number one show on Wildfire Radio.
I'm feeling good.
No sleep, no food, no nothing. Just maniacism.
Well, the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, Hal.
Sorry.
What actually happened on the show? Nothing.
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
What is up, ladies and gentlemen, out there in internet land? My name is Warren Johnson, and I'm joined as always by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Bacone, Philly voice and Philly influencer. And you're listening to episode 236 of the Straight Shooters, which can be found, on a multitude of platforms, on your mobile devices, on your laptop computers, your desktop computers. We're talking Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, you name it, we're everywhere. And we got a packed show for you this week. We're recording this on Thursday night, May 28th. And a lot has happened this week, specifically when it comes to AEW. And they had their pay-per-view this past weekend. And they had a pretty exciting, noteworthy, newsworthy edition of Dynamite this past Wednesday. I guess it would be Wednesday, last night. So we're going to talk about that. Nick has got a lot to say. He's got a lot to say when it comes to AEW and the use of one Iron Mike Tyson. Also, we're going to live commentate something else for you again, as we've done a lot recently during this quarantine times, because we haven't really... There's not a whole lot to talk about when it comes to the current product. There's some things, and we're going to talk about some things tonight, obviously, with AEW. But we're going to live commentate, Starrcade 1986. We're going to take you way back, way, way back in the time for the Night of the Skywalkers, baby. We're going to start there, at least. We're going to start with the Road Warriors versus the Midnight Express and a scaffold match. Even though this match was third from the top, technically, on the pecking order of the card, this was pretty much the tagline, so to speak, for this show. Night of the Skywalkers is referring to this match, the scaffold match, Starrcade 86. If time permits, we may throw another match in the show in there. The next match on this card, I believe, was the Rock and Roll Express versus Arn Anderson and Ole Anderson, the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, and a cage match for the NWA World Tag Titles, if I'm not mistaken. So we can throw that in there too, if time permits. But before I get to, I've gotten so far into the show without really checking on my guy, my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Bacone. How you doing tonight, my good brother?
I was about to rile up the DVR and just start watching the program. I'm doing good. You said it. You open these shows absolutely terrifically, so I will never ever step on your toes or anything like that. So I'll just let you go. Yeah, it's Thursday night. We're almost in June. Yeah, the weather's getting hot. And I've been using the air conditioner a lot this week, so I also have some strong opinions about things that we saw this week in wrestling, and I will not be afraid to talk about them. And also, I need to plug right away my Top Hat Gil thread on Twitter. If you haven't seen it yet, go at Nick Bacone on Twitter. I started a Top Hat Gil appreciation thread a few days ago, and I already have maybe like 20 videos as part of that thread.
My God.
And, I just do it to be funny. Like, it's a funny look back at a weird time in pro wrestling, especially with us as kids, you know, growing up in that. But, man, Todd was on another level, good or bad. So very appreciative of his time, that the time of my childhood that I spent with him on the TV. He's the one that was selling me all these WWF pay-per-views and TV shows, so I had to show him some appreciation. So check that out at Nick Pacun on Twitter if you haven't already. And I laugh just like watching these videos and posting them, and you know, they just crack me up. Him and Macho Man were such a great tag team when they hosted Mania together, and I forgot about that. I forgot that they were together a lot.
Hey, you know, you're not the only one that forgot about that.
you mean you forgot about that?
Yeah, and so did millions of other people. I don't mean this as a disrespect for Ty Pettengill. He's good at his job, but
or Randy Savage, I'm sure.
You talk about going overboard.
Oh, I'm absolutely overboard. It's ridiculous. I will be the first to admit that. And but it's also in good fun, and the fact that I remember it so many years later, and there are like a few people out there that do remember it. They comment on it, and they're like, I can't believe Randy Savage was able to go along with it for as long as he did, because it was like a year that Randy Savage was part of that program with Todd. And but they, you know, I watched all these YouTube videos back, and seeing them and how like their chemistry together, and it's just hilarious. So I'm very appreciative of that time, and the fact that I can watch it in 2020 and relive some of those memories that crack me up, which will probably, I'm sure some people will take what I have to say later about the Mike Tyson, Chris Jericho thing in AEW and kind of circle it back to what, well, it's making people feel like, you know, making them remember their childhood again, and it's good. I don't think this particular thing is good, and I'll explain why.
You will explain why. You mentioned the weather earlier.
I did.
You're right about that. It's hot. It was 80 the last couple of days here in Philly. And
yeah, I'm so used to it. It's only going to get worse, bro. I'm so used to wearing a hoodie when I go out now, because, you know, like, I don't go out often, try to, you know, get what I need and then come home and take care of my dad. And I wore a hoodie, you know, the last few days when I went out, and I was like, what am I doing? Like, it's just a reflex, but it's ridiculous. The humidity is back, and it sucks.
Yeah, and it's only going to get worse, man. Only going to get worse. Because it's not even June yet. We already here. So wait till July hits.
Yeah, and in recent years, this has gone into September and even October, so I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, we don't need that. We ain't got time for that nonsense. But
hell no.
Speaking of nonsense, according to Nick, if you watched AEW Wednesday night, you saw Mike Tyson and an entourage of people that included Vitor Belfort, apparently.
Yeah.
Coming to AEW and get into a brawl with the Inner Circle, which is led by Chris Jericho, of course, who was calling out Mike Tyson the whole time he was in the ring, the whole night, pretty much. And he got what he wanted, and it turned to a whole big brouhaha. And I haven't watched the segment, but I've seen a lot of you know, good and bad things about it on social media. It looks like WWE is rehashing a story that happened that started on WWE TV, kind of twofold, with, you know, Tyson punching, you know, brawling with Steve Austin when he first got there in 1998, and then Jericho, which would have been, what, 15 years, 14 years later? Something. When did he host Raw? Like 2009,
yeah, it was,
maybe?
Almost exactly 10 years ago. It was like the week after Bret Hart came back.
So we're in early 2010. So we're talking 12 years after the 1998 stuff, is right. When Mike Tyson guest hosted Monday Night Raw, when they were doing the guest host stuff, and he punched Chris Jericho.
Yes.
Okay. So two full WWE angles on AEW getting rehashed, and it was, a lot of people thought it was fun, and it was cool, it was a great use of Mike Tyson, but Nick, you disagreed. Tell us why. I mean, you kind of said already why on Twitter, but elaborate for the listeners who haven't seen your tweets, or may not follow you on Twitter, which is a shame. You should follow me on Twitter.
Correct. And if they muted me because of my Todd Pettengill thread, I'll explain it on this podcast. And you set it up pretty well. The initial issue I have with it is not that they're rehashing the Tyson Jericho punch from Monday Night Raw 10 years ago. I thought that was like good continuity in terms of pro wrestling. That's what we've been missing in terms of pro wrestling. That is what I miss in pro wrestling. That storytelling and that they can pull something from 10 years ago to make it make sense today is something that you don't see much anymore. And I can appreciate that through Chris Jericho kind of holding that grudge. And to me, like, that's fine. It was the whole setup of how everything happened that was just an imitation of what happened with Mike Tyson and Steve Austin in 1998. That was the biggest thing, because as soon as Mike Tyson came out, and I was watching live like a lot of others out there, I watch AEW live and I watch NXT afterwards, and I just kind of sat back and I'm like, oh man, like, I don't really hope we don't get like a shoving match. It's just going to remind me of the Attitude Era, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that thought that. And it's hard for me in that particular position, would have been hard for me to look past that and say, like, oh, like, it was good, it was entertaining, it's pro wrestling, whatever. Because to me, I still want AEW to signify a big difference than WWE, and some things they've done really well that are different than WWE. And this particular thing last night kind of left a really sour taste in my mouth, because I don't mind Mike Tyson coming in for a wrestling match against Chris Jericho, if that's where they're going. I mean, that's certainly what it looks like. I think it's good use of Mike Tyson. I told you last week, Vaughn, that I wanted AEW, or maybe 2 weeks ago, that I wanted AEW to utilize Mike Tyson similarly like WWE did, because I think it would do AEW some good, give them some mainstream exposure. I thought it would be good for their brand. And Mike Tyson's a name. He loves pro wrestling. You could probably ask him to do something and he'll do it. What I was not expecting was basically a complete copy of the Tyson and Austin angle. Arguably the biggest WWF angle in history. I don't know many angles or storylines that would rank up there with that one. And you had Jim Ross on commentary. I mean, he's not as into it as he was in 1998. He's kind of pushing like it's a brawl, or, you know, like, it's just not the same Jim Ross. So he's not selling it like he would have in 98. But that's the biggest thing I thought about. I was like, you don't need to copy that exact scenario, a pull apart brawl. Mike Tyson comes out with his entourage, gets in Jericho's face, pushes him, and then Jericho pushes back, and then there you go. Like, there's everyone in the ring. First of all, I thought it was stupid to have people in the ring to begin with. Still, we're dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. We're, you know, WWE just started having fans, and, well, quote unquote fans, in the stands this past week with the plexiglass. And, you know, they're socially distancing. AEW's had those fans. They've been socially distanced. I thought it was stupid for Monday Night Raw to end with a pull-apart brawl. And it was equally as stupid for Dynamite to end with a pull-apart brawl during all this, you know, coronavirus pandemic. But that's probably the least of my worries at this point when it comes to wrestling. What I was mostly annoyed about was just the sheer... It just felt like, and I even had people on Twitter say, like, maybe it was a troll job to me, but they were like, well, Mike Tyson wasn't introduced as a special enforcer, as a referee, so it's not really a carbon copy. It's like, okay, like, I think I told that guy I don't want to get trolled tonight, so I just kind of ended the conversation at that point, because I could tell that even if you were entertained by that, that's fine. Don't copy an exact angle that WWE did in the height of the Attitude Era. And I saw so many pro AEW accounts, and, you know, it's fine. Like, you enjoy what you enjoy. If it, like, just because I didn't like it didn't mean I didn't think it was good for AEW. Because I do. I think it's good for AEW. They've already gotten the mainstream exposure from that. They're going to ride that, and they should. But I think you should AEWize that. You don't copy exactly what WWF did. I even put it on Twitter. I said what I would have done is I would act like the whole show and even on the social media, do exactly what Jericho did, act like he was really pissed at Tyson for what happened 10 years ago, have Tyson come out, have Jericho apologize and have them make up, kind of like a swerve, you know. But I think AEW, with their creative minds, they could have done that and made it work. And everyone's like, you know, okay, we're not going to have a brawl, you know. And Jericho and Tyson made up and they start leaving the ring and everyone's like going in the back. And then boom, Jericho attacks Tyson and lays him out, hits him with a chair over the head. I don't know. And then in a few weeks, you have Tyson come back and kill Jericho, figuratively. And you kind of set it up from there on, you know, if they're going to go to All Out and have a one-on-one match, or you do whatever you're going to do. But that's, to me, that's a better way to plant those seeds, because you're not making a carbon copy WWF angle that with the same person. And I thought that would have been a better use of Mike Tyson in 2020. And now I'm sitting here talking about this angle that just reminds me everything of WWF's attitude era. And I see tweets that are like, oh, this was amazing. It was the best episode of Dynamite ever. And I'm like, seriously? Like, do these people crave the attitude era of wrestling so much? Of how it made them feel as a kid, because majority of them were kids today. And I mean, maybe, like you said, probably, and maybe it's just the way that they made them feel, but that's not how I felt when I watched it. I was like, please, please don't do the same thing. Please don't do the same thing. And because you were going to have people like me call it out like that. And I don't want to be the one that calls out AEW like that. I don't want to be known for that. I even said, like, I'm not an anti-AEW guy. I think they can do really great things, and I will call them out on the bad things. I do the same thing WWE, do the same thing Ring of Honor, same thing in Impact. And I just thought they could have went about it in a more interesting way. I felt like the story would have been better had Jericho been like, yeah, you know what, I'm sorry, like, and play into that Jericho character, because maybe as the viewer, you're like, wait a second, this isn't making sense. Jericho's going to do something, and then him and Tyson make up. You have Tyson kind of go, okay, like, we're good, and then Jericho attack him. Like, to me, that's a better pro wrestling story to move forward with this Tyson versus Jericho thing than trying to do exactly what WWF did in 1998. And that was my biggest problem with it. I don't have a problem with the people that enjoyed it. And I said that, and I'm not going to say, like, as a wrestling fan, you're wrong for enjoying that. But you're also, like, living in the attitude era. I think we just need to get out of that area. So what better way than to use Mike Tyson than to try and create something different and create kind of like a different pro wrestling story around it. But no, they went right for the pull apart brawl. And I guess it's good visual on social media, but I think it would have been this. You could have done the same exact thing after Jericho attacked Tyson from behind with a chair or something like that, or another weapon. It could have been the same outcome. So that was my main issue with it. I think that in the long run, it's going to be good for AEW. I'm glad that they're using Mike Tyson. I think it's good for them in terms of mainstream exposure. And, you know, those are kind of like overall my thoughts on it. And yeah, that's what I got.
Vicky Guerrero involved too, somehow?
She was in the ring. She was in the crowd at the pay-per-view, but I don't know if she was ever like a central figure in anything.
Okay. Here's the thing though, and I think you covered on that, and it makes sense. And to me, the issue with me, though, is kind of different. It's not only really like they're copying an angle that WWE did 20 years ago, which people copy angles, at least they did back in the day before national television. You know, that's not something that's brand new in pro wrestling, to copy an angle that happened somewhere else. That happened all the time in the territory days.
Right.
Again, that's before national TV. But my thing is that you're kind of rehashing you're using something that happened on WWE television as the basis for an angle, which even if it's a copy or if it's not a copy, if it's in a wholly original idea, I don't think it's a good thing, because it's just like...
So you're more about like the Tyson and Jericho situation that happened on Raw when Tyson punched him, more than right, the Tyson and Austin.
Which was like a nothing angle. And I guess from AEW standpoint, if you're trying to get your two... Essentially, Chris Jericho's your biggest name. Even though Mox has been the champion for months,
yeah,
Jericho's still your biggest name. So if you want to get your Mike Tyson, who is a bigger name than anyone on the roster, against your biggest name, Chris Jericho, who just so happens to be a heel, which is good. That works out perfect. If you want to get them two together, how do you get there? This was an easy way to get there, that Chris Jericho was held a grudge against Mike Tyson for what? Mm. Now it's been 12 years? Yeah. 10 years, I should say?
Yeah.
For punching him in the face. Which, that angle then, in 2010, was a copy from WrestleMania 14, when he took off the shirt and all that. So... You know, they kind of rehashed it then, but at least that was WWE rehashing their own thing.
Right.
This is AEW taking something that happened from another company's TV and kind of bringing it here, which I understand that the callback, which I'm good, I'm usually all about callbacks, right, but I wouldn't do it necessarily from another promotion's TV. Like, even though, now let me rethink here, because there were people calling for WWE to revive the Bullet Club in New Japan. Right? And that's all we wanted. That's another promotions TV, and we want them to kind of bring that same thing over. But the thing is, it's kind of the opposite when that New Japan doesn't have as big an audience as WWE, obviously. So you're rehashing something, but you're not rehashing something that everybody knows about.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of people that's brand new to it. And I guess you can say the same thing about this, because it happened 20 some odd years ago. But that was still a huge thing back in 1998, or even you go back to the 2010 thing with Jericho and Mike Tyson. I mean, that was still in front of what, a couple million people watching on Raw back then. Still, like three or four million people watching Raw back then. I don't, you know, they're not that many people watching Raw today, but 10 years ago, they were still garnering a decent audience as far as television. This is before streaming platforms totally took over, and before the WWE Network, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a little bit different from, like, the Bullet Club stuff and bringing back, you know, stuff that happened in New Japan, which was a smaller audience than WWE. Mm-hmm. If you're AEW and you're carving out your own niche, carve out your own niche. Don't try to rehash stuff that happened in WWE. This is you.
Right.
You know, you gotta separate yourself from WWE. And using Mike Tyson in an angle that's familiar to some people who watched WWE 20 years ago isn't how you do it. Also, this is kind of a larger issue that AEW has at this moment, in that you look at the top people in AEW right now. How many of those people weren't on WWE TV at one point in time? You look at Moxley, Jericho, you look at even Cody, you look at Brody Lee.
Yeah.
You know, all those guys at the top of the card. You go to even Jake Hager, you know, like, the only guys that weren't on WWE TV for an extended period of time at the top of the card, I would give you Kenny Omega, who is he even at the tippy top, really, right now? Like, he's a guy. But he's not really the centerpiece right now. The centerpiece is probably Cody. Like, you know, when he's in the match with Mike Tyson, you know, that's a big spot.
He's going to defend that title every week and kind of become the face, which he probably should at this point, I think. And
that was the most noteworthy match from Double or Nothing, not the world title match that was the main event of the show.
Which had a ridiculous stupid ending, by the way. But
it's neither here nor there.
Well,
but if you look at the face,
Jake Roberts and Arn Anderson getting involved like that, it was just stupid overbooked WWE crap that I don't want to see in AEW, because they're supposed to be better than that. All
right,
I'm done.
They're supposed to have the sports-like presentation, right?
Right, yeah.
Which is what they promised us months and months and months ago. I understand this is, you know, we're in COVID-19 times, so things might have changed a little bit, but that was something they promised a while ago, was statistics and a more sports-like presentation. I don't think we've really gotten that. We're still kind of waiting for that.
No, I mean, they have rankings, and that's about it. You know,
they do that, and
that's the only tangible thing, really, at this point.
Right, and that's they've stuck to that, and they've been consistent with that. I appreciate that, but I still feel like there could be more done to make it a sports-like presentation. I still feel like they've gone back to, they're still kind of settled into pro wrestling, which is what we watch every Monday and Friday night on, you know, Raw and SmackDown. But my issue is that even now you got the Revival coming in, they're going to be the top tag team probably. They got another WWE act, but they got some talent that hasn't really been in WWE at all. I mean, Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Adam Page. I mean, Kenny Omega was in, I think, FCW back in the day, but, you know, he wasn't on main roster, obviously. They got a roster. Orange Cassidy, who I know people, he's kind of a polarizing. Some people love him. Some people don't understand it. But they got people who they can push to the forefront and make them AEW guys. Like, this is why you come to see AEW. That's just me. Maybe I'm tripping. Because, look, the ratings went up this week. The numbers are doing pretty well. They got, what, 800,000 viewers this week? That's good.
That's really good. Well, too. So more people were watching last night.
Right. I mean, by all means, to be fair, AEW had Mike Tyson. It was a post-pay-per-view show.
Yeah.
NXT had a cage match with the special guest referee of Kurt Angle. Yeah. So they kind of stacked their top of their cards, stacked the top of their shows to get people to watch. So people did watch. So that's good. You don't want to hotshot stuff every week, but for this week, it was a good job by both shows. So maybe I got it twisted. Maybe I got it wrong, and that maybe they're doing it right. But I think in the long run, you're better off getting AEW guys over. And I know that technically Moxley and Jericho, because they're under contract, they are AEW guys, but they're very familiar with WWE.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think TNA ran into that issue back in the day where they, you know, top of their card was Kurt Angle, Sting, who's, you know, WCW guy, not really a WWE guy.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle, Sting, Nash, Booker T, and guys like Styles and Samoa Joe kind of faded to the background after a while. Even when Styles was like the top guy, he was a Ric Flair clone.
Yeah.
You know, like they had Rob Van Dam on top for a little bit, like Jeff Hardy. I mean, Jeff Jarrett, you know, on top for a long time. Yeah, Christian.
Yeah.
So, and look, don't get me wrong. Pre Hulk Hogan, TNA was doing things with Kurt Angle on top, but they also had Samoa Joe on top with him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but Double or Nothing, you had Moxley versus Brody Lee.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose versus Luke Harper, which would have not main evented a WWE pay per view, but it main evented AEW. And I have nothing against either one of those guys. I think they're immensely talented and they are worthy of main event spots. But you got to be mindful. You got to be careful, AEW. I don't know if it's going to be an issue right now, but I think eventually it might become an issue. Well, who are the guys that you're known for? Who are the AEW guys? When you looked at TNA, back at TNA, like I said, Samoa Joe, AJ, Christopher Daniels, even though he's kind of a Ring of Honor first, but still, Ring of Honor didn't have this wide of television as TNA. But Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, Bobby Roode, guys like that, James Storm, those are TNA guys. You know, those are the guys that were, I mean, like I said, AJ wasn't at the top of the card all the time, but, you know, he was there sometimes, Samoa Joe and whatnot. Who are those guys at AEW that are AEW guys that haven't been on WWE TV? Because like I said, Cody, I know he's the man as far as like, he's like the face, essentially, of AEW from a wrestling standpoint almost, and kind of a corporate standpoint too. You know, Tony Khan is like, he runs a joint, but from a wrestler standpoint, it's Cody.
Yeah, I think
Cody was on WWE TV for years, so
I don't necessarily, you know, in my view of it, I don't really look at him as an WWE guy anymore. I think he, to me, he signifies more of the old school, and with the TNT Championship, I'm thinking that he will become that face if he's not already. He'll be the face of TNT and AEW, you know, simultaneously, even though he's not world champion. And I think that's part of the reason why they decided to make him the first TNT champion, because they want him. Like, arguably, he's the best wrestler in the world today. And I'm not sure you can put many people on that list today, but I think he's on it. Regardless, I think that he probably deserves that spot right now. And again, you're going to have like those anti-AEW guys saying, oh, it's just another Triple H and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, like, I don't even want to, like, discuss that. I don't even want to, like, entertain those thoughts at this point, because I do think that Cody has deserved what he's gotten. And to me, and I'm probably not alone, I just don't view him as the next WWE guy at this point.
I mean, you may not view him that way, but he is.
Yeah, true.
You know, he is what he is. But I agree with you about Cody being, I don't know if he's the best wrestler in the world, but I will say that I've been a fan of his stuff the most in AEW since it started up.
Yeah, I will say that. Absolutely.
I think he's his stuff, his angles and all that.
You know, I say best wrestler in the world, but you know, maybe that's more what I'm thinking of. He just garners more and more emotion in his matches. And to me, that's just as important as doing the moves, you know.
That's 100% fair. I can't disagree with that at all. I agree with that sentiment that getting the emotion out of the people. And as you can see it, I mean, this pandemic is exhibit A when it comes to that. How many matches that have been good matches, you know, from a physical standpoint, could have been so much better if there was fans in the stands riding that wave of emotion, which if you're a wrestler or your promotion, you should be mindful of that. This one thing to go out there and just do a bunch of stuff and, you know, have a bunch of action, but the fans got to be into it. And you see it now, you know, some of these, and it goes both from not just AEW, but WWE as well. You see these matches, it's like, yeah, that was good, but I'm just not as emotionally invested as I would be if there was fans and, you know, they were riding that wave as well. So it's just weird. You know, that's just how it is right now. And I'm sure all the sports would be that way, you know, once we get into, you know, when these sports are coming back. I think it's a little different because, you know, team sports, you definitely, I look at it from more of a fan standpoint where I'm rooting for somebody. Whereas wrestling, I'm looking at it from an analytical standpoint. I'm not rooting for anybody because the outcome is already scripted. But, you know, when regular sports come back, I wonder how that will be. Will it be as exciting, you know, as it would have been if there were fans in the stands? You know, players, they're competitors. So once they throw the ball up in the air, once they drop the puck, you know, once they put the ball on the tee for a kickoff, they're going to compete. You know, they compete when no one's around at practice. Or, you know, basketball players, they can play a full run 5-on-5, and they can get heated when there's nobody there. So they're competitors, so they'll turn it up eventually. But yeah, that's going to be missing from that atmosphere, and I think it's definitely missing from pro wrestling right now as well. Since we've been in this, I mean, since what, for like 11 weeks, 12 weeks almost.
Nah, I lost count
during this. You know, it's been 2-3 months pretty much. That we're involved in this, and it hasn't gotten any. I haven't gotten used to it still. It's still weird. Right. Maybe, you know, I still watch older stuff, whether it's, you know, football or basketball or even wrestling. And we're going to watch something tonight, Starrcade, Night of the Skywalkers, where there's packed arenas. And I had to probably kind of keep watching this stuff so I can remember, like, this is what it was like. Because now I'm just looking at an empty building
with
no sound, you know, except for the wrestlers in the ring.
And it's weird to think that we're not, even when we watch the old stuff, we're not going to see that anytime soon. It's going to be at least, you know, by the end, maybe next year, that we can see the stands packed with fans again.
Who knows if it ever happens again? Who knows? We don't know. That's the crazy thing. It's very uncertain times. And then that seems like the new cliche. It's very, in these uncertain times, we like to say, but it's true. These are uncertain happening from day to day. So,
and I want to circle back to when you were talking about how Tyson and Jericho were picking up 10 years from what happened on a WWE program. And really all that did was Jericho tweeted Saturday night after Double or Nothing about Tyson and that he'll never forget what happened on, you know, January 11th, 2010 or whatever it was. And that just made everyone go to YouTube, WWE Network. You know, it was a Monday if you did the research. So you're like, okay, that was Monday Night Raw that happened. And then I did that night. I did it. I went to the WWE Network and I was like, oh, it's the Raw where Mike Tyson guest hosted. Completely no memory of this. It was a bad time in my life, so I didn't really watch. But the Bret Hart Monday Night Raw was the only one I watched around this time period. So I had no clue what happened. I didn't even know he punched Jericho at the end. So I took the video and I posted it on Jargo's Twitter, and it was funny. And
now, that's the thing, though. You remind people of this thing. Right. People go straight to YouTube, WWE. Exactly. Probably on WWE's YouTube. So now you're helping WWE's YouTube video all of a sudden spike in views. It's like, what the hell is this video spiking in views for? Oh, AEW did an angle. Good job.
Yeah, exactly. And because you know what Jericho's talking about. Like, he can't flat out say, I know, I'm not going to forget what you did on Raw. Like, he's not going to do that. So you go and you seek it out yourself. And so that's what I did. And I posted it. And I was like, I'm sorry about this. And I posted it under his tweet. And it was like a 30-second video of Tyson just punching him. They lost the match to DX at that point. And of course, Ryan sat and steals my thunder and posts it today. Like, you know, I don't get the credit, damn it. But that's neither here nor there. That's just me and sour grapes. And I'll fully admit that. But I was the first one to, I mean, there were like pictures that people were posting, but I was the first one to put the video in. And that was the first one to kind of like remind everybody, hey, this is what happened. And, that's where we're at.
By the way, that video has 6 million views
on YouTube.
The Tyson Jericho thing. The comments were turned off on this video.
Is it on AEW's YouTube page?
No, I'm looking at WWE's YouTube page.
Oh.
I was wondering, because I wanted to look at the comments and see, like, the original, like, whether people were like, AEW brought me here. But the comments have been turned off.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean, it's entirely possible they just did that.
It's possible. The Stone Cold Mike Tyson, they got 60 million views. Damn. Woo-hoo. 60 million, and boy.
Just imagine, like, when did they post that? You know, what does it say?
June 6, 2014. I look at the newest comments, though. The newest comment says, AEW 2020 segment brought me here. I wanted to see who did it better.
And obviously, you know, WWE is the first one to do that in that era, and that's going to be the one everyone remembers. The best said, one. It's the best one.
2 hours ago, who was here because of last night's episode of Dynamite? Okay, who was here after seeing Jericho and Tyson in AEW? And it, somebody said, LMAO, comments are disabled on the DX Jericho Tyson video. Ha ha ha, AEW for life. Okay, you said that on a WWE video.
You're giving WWE the money at this point.
Thanks for the engagement, fam. We'll take that comment.
Yeah. And you would know, man. If anyone would know, it's Vaughn Johnson of the Street Shooters podcast.
Right.
And the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm very familiar with YouTube. So thanks for the engagement, fam. Like, Jericho versus Tyson 2020. Forget Tyson versus Austin. What do you think of Tyson and Brock? That's weird. Who was here after watching Fallback in May 21? I don't know what that means. This is a bunch of comments within the last 9 hours, 10 hours. Who's here after Dynamite this week? After seeing Tyson and Jericho brawl on AEW, I came straight to this video.
It's so weird. Like, I don't think I've ever commented on a YouTube video. I don't get it. But whatever.
Well, you know.
But you think about that video that you said they posted, the Tyson Austin video WWE did in 2014, and it's at 60 million. Just imagine, like, if they had posted it on YouTube, you know, when they actually made their account or something.
60 million.
That's crazy.
I would say the Tyson Jericho video on AEW's YouTube has over a million views, 1.5 million.
That's good. That's why they're doing it, and I'm fine with that.
But it's box office for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, it's no doubt. It's box office. It also helped me, like helped me and many others. You helped me remind me of the segment you did back in 2010 on WWE TV, and it really reminded us all of what was it? Then the Austin segment he did in 1998. Twofold.
And I'm not mad about them getting there. It's how about how? I think what I said about like how they could have gotten there instead of doing the exact copy of Tyson Austin, if they did like a Jericho attack after they quote unquote made up, I think that's better. That's better for pro wrestling. You still have, you know, the back and forth, like, you still have the views, you still have the mainstream publicity. I don't know. You still have that stuff. So, it is what it is. I'm not going to change it. They're not going to change it. I'm sure they're happy with those 1 million views. And I still think it's going to be good for them in the long run. I'm interested to see what happens next week. If they appear next week, or if they kind of hold it a little bit. Because All Out, they announced All Out at their pay-per-views. I think that's in August. So they have until August or September. I don't even know what date it was.
Well, the original All In was in September. It was Labor Day weekend, I believe.
Yeah, and then last year was August, right?
You might be right. I don't know. it's August 30. Last year's All Out was August 31st.
Right.
So, August 31st, 2019. I should say, not 2029. That hasn't happened yet. So yeah, that's what's happening in AEW. But let's switch some gears here. Not full gear, like AEW.
That'll be
but
September 5th this year. So
September 5th?
Yeah.
We'll anyway. See. We'll see. But let's switch some gears here to what we're going to live commentate tonight. As we said earlier, we're going to live commentate the scaffold match between the Road Warriors and the Midnight Express from Starrcade 1986, the night of the Skywalker's daddy, as Dusty Rhodes would say, would have said back in 1986. so yeah, we're going to live commentate it. If you join us, we got loaded up on a WWE Network. I'm at 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 11 seconds. Is that where you are, Nick?
Exactly where I'm at.
Okay, well, just hit the highlights button and it takes you right there. So that's thanks, WWE Network, for being easy.
You didn't need to give away our trade secrets, but okay.
It's easy to figure out. so as we give you some time to catch up with us, get situated with the WWE Network, I dug up, unearthed my Throwback Thursday piece about this very show. From one of my days at Philly.com, now known as Inquirer.com, I wrote a retrospective about this event. Like I said, I used to do Throwback Thursdays back in the day. I used to do it every Thursday. I would solicit old events for people to send me so I can watch and write up about. It was cool. I always liked doing these back in the day, except when people send me trash shows. But, like Starrcade 2000, something like that. But but I wrote this back on December 15th. It was posted at least December 15th, 2016. Some interesting tidbits that I found about this show. This was the second and final Starrcade that had two venues. If you recall, I know some people remember WWE and WrestleMania 2 going from having three venues.
Yeah.
Well, Starrcade and NWA, they was doing it before WrestleMania even existed, baby. All right? Well, I guess technically it did exist in 1986, but that's neither here nor there. Who cares? But this show took place at the Greensboro Coliseum. Some of the show was in Greensboro, and some of the show was at the Omni in Atlanta. So, and I wrote here earlier in the year, WrestleMania, the second WrestleMania, was in three different venues. So there we go. But Starrcade 85 was also in three venues, or two venues, I should say. I believe it was the same two. It might have been Greensboro and Atlanta again. I can double check, though, just to make sure. Yep, Greensboro and Atlanta. That's the Omni and Greensboro Coliseum yet again. I think this is the last time they did that as well in 86, I should say. Because the next year they went to Chicago, I believe. Yeah, Chi-Town Heat. So they didn't do it again after 86. So this is the final multi-venue Starrcade event, which was interesting. In Atlanta was Tony Schiavone and Rick Stewart. Don't know who that is.
Oh.
So, of course, you know Tony Schiavone's on AEW right now. He's been in Atlanta for years. Makes sense. In Greensboro, we have Bob Cottle and Johnny Weaver. How about that? So, also, interesting names on this card that you got to remember. You got Tim Horner, who was If you want to look up an epic Jim Cornette rant, which I know some people, a lot of people out there don't like Jim Cornette, fair enough, because he said some wild stuff during this time, but he also has some hilarious rants about old-timers or even current people, which not, some of his stuff isn't great today, obviously, especially stuff he said about Becky Lynch. That was terrible. But the Tim Horner rant is hysterical. So Don Cornoodle, that's a guy. Brad Armstrong and Jimmy Jam Garvin. Okay. How about that? Yeah. Hector Guerrero and Baron Von Raschke was a tag team on the show versus Shaska Watley and The Barbarian.
Nice.
Yeah. Or, you know, Shaska Watley was better known as Pistol Pez Watley. You know, just so people keep in count. Let's see. He had a tag team called the Kansas Jayhawks, which was Bobby Jaggers and Dutch Mantel. They lost to Crush Khrushchev and Ivan Koloff for the NWA U.S. tag team titles. Because they had the U.S. tag team titles. That they had national tag team championships, too, at some point. It was... it had some confusing stuff there. Indian strap match. Wahoo McDaniel versus Rick Rude. That's a match right there. The NWA Central States Heavyweight Championship. Boy, this is big time. Sam Houston, Bill Dundee, Hair versus Hair, Jimmy Valiant. Ooh. Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant versus Paul Jones. You had a street fight between Rugged Ron Garvin. I don't think he was Rugged Ron Garvin in NWA. That's probably WWE. But Big Bubba Rogers was also his opponent. Of course, that's Big Boss Man, Ray Trailer. And you had a TV title, First Blood, Tully Blanchard and Dusty Rhodes. I think, yeah, they had, this is the one where they had Dusty Rhodes, like, what was it? That's what it was. He was like in his locker room the whole day. And he didn't do any pre-match promos. He didn't do any interviews. And then they showed him walking from the locker room to the ring like Goldberg. So, like, I don't know. You've probably seen in Dusty Rhodes clips where he's, like, walking in a hallway or something like that, ready for a fight. And I think he had a hood on or something like that, or some type of headgear or whatever. And that clip of him walking in the hallway is from this match, I believe. And then once he got into the ring, they showed, like, he had, like, a short haircut, but he had Tully Blanchard's name written in his head, and like dye or magic marker or something like that. It was, like, I think it said Tully in the east side of his head. It was weird. It was very odd. But who won this match, by the way? Let me see. Tully Blanchard won. Good job. And then, of course, we got the Skywalkers match. We got the World Tag Team Championship match, and the main event was world title Ric Flair, Nikita Koloff. I believe Nikita Koloff was in the match because Magnum TA got in the accident. Mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah, this is, I think they turned Nikita Koloff face after that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he got in a car accident. So.
Which the next. Funny to me, Nikita Koloff was just recently on a Dark Side of the Ring episode.
He was on the Road Warriors one.
Yeah, I did not. I guess I don't know my Nikita Koloff history well enough. I did not realize he was like an American with, he just talks without an accent. Like,
man.
I did not know my Nikita Koloff history, which is crazy because I watched the old WCW episodes that were on WWE On Demand, and I'd watch them, like World Championship Wrestling, and he would be on there, and I never really, I guess, researched him. And I was surprised to, you know, find that out. I was like, wow, like, he could have passed for a Russian. He convinced me.
You're all about kayfabe back in the day,
there
boy.
You go. Yeah.
So.
Kudos to him.
Apparently, he like kind of had that gimmick all the time, though. Like, he would talk in a Russian accent, even in the locker room or on a plane. It's like, bro, it's just us. You don't have to keep the accent. We know you're not Russian. Like, we know.
At that point, you know, Americans probably weren't like, hey, you're Russian. Like, get away from me. Sure.
I mean, this is the 80s.
Yeah.
It was Soviet Union still in 86, yeah. I believe, right?
Yeah. Okay.
But for whatever reason, you know, I mean, obviously we know the reason in real life that Magnum TA got, you know, had the car accident, his career was cut short, so they scrambled and got Nikita, and suddenly he became a good guy. he separated from the Russians, Krister Khrushchev and Ivan Koloff, and he was thrust into the main event. So we may watch that too at some point. I don't know. Time permits. But we're going to start it off with the Skywalkers match, the scaffold match from 1986. Starrcade 1986, I should say. So are you ready, Nick?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to do it in 3, 2, 1, hit it.
All right.
Night of Skywalker.
Got the audio coming. And, oh yeah, that music.
I mean, then this is bad. They still can use licensed music for entrances. I think WWE just dubbed over all of those music at the event, one of them, obviously, which is fair. This music is expensive.
It's like a far, yeah,
this is like the fake Jim Cornette music or something. I don't know. You see the laser lights, though?
Yeah.
Whoa! Look at those lasers!
Starrcade's the big time,
freaking laser beams.
They're making words.
It says Night of the Skywalkers. Man, this is big time right here, boy.
1986, they were at the top of the technological game.
Oh, yeah. I think this match happened in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it happened in Atlanta. Let me look it up real quick. You see the Midnight Express coming down. You might hear me typing here. I apologize.
Yeah.
I apologize. Happened fast. It doesn't say. Wikipedia doesn't say where the match happened. Let's see. Oh, this is in Greensboro. Never mind. I think the last two matches had Atlanta. I could be wrong. I don't know. Either way, here we go.
Where'd you find that out? Wikipedia?
Yeah.
There you go. Wikipedia's your answer to everything, man. Rest my case.
Not really. Shouldn't be. Come the Road Warriors.
Yeah, now, it's so hard to see. Because they don't have all the lights and the glitz and glamour.
Yeah, but, you know, this is how it was. Didn't stop people from going to the shows.
That's high.
That's not sturdy. That's that good. Already fell.
Oh, yeah.
There goes that. Animal just broke it by touching it. Why would they even... Man.
That is high.
Jim Cornette down there.
I don't even think he's seen any scaffold matches for that high. Because then they'd be outside the arena.
Can increase the element of danger, man. Jim Cornette's crying. He's crying from all the backlash you got about the Becky Lynch, he said.
So you signed the contract, dude?
What'd you say?
Just say, Jim Cornette, you signed the contract, dude. What are you crying for?
Oh.
A lot of posing here.
A lot of posing. Road Warriors must pose.
Don't think. Yeah.
You know that?
I do not think the bell rang yet. It's like they're daring.
Who were the Midnight Express this night, do you know?
I'm sorry, what?
Who were the Midnight Express this night, do you know?
No.
Bobby Eaton and Dennis Condrey.
Condrey, huh?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
What's happening again?
Interesting. There's no commentators. The rewards have been waiting for minutes now. They were the second team out. Why was the Midnight Express not up there already?
This is before Dennis Condrey left NWA. That's the point. Stan Lane would be his replacement.
Stan Lane. Top end kills Arch Nemesis.
But Bobby Eaton. Beautiful Bobby.
I'm telling you.
He was the mainstay.
For those out there, go see my top end thread. I have a great two great videos of Sami Zayn trying to like take over Mania and Tata Engel would not let it happen. WrestleMania 10 weekend. It's hilarious.
That isn't so dark. Sami Zayn trying to take over Mania?
Yeah. It was like a WWF commentator at the time. So funny because he's supposed to win Macho Man and he's like, you know what? No, you need Tata Engel. You do a really good job. And Tata shows up and goes, hey Tata, I was just talking about how this show's not the same without you. It is great stuff. We'll have to live commentate an episode of Mania at some point.
I don't know about that one. So I see why this match is like so long on WWE Network, because there's so much posturing, so much gaga and all that. Like, the match may technically be like 7 minutes, but there's so much more like before and after.
Yeah,
like, we've been watching this like 5 minutes and they're just climbing up the scaffold. Nah. And he's climbing back down the scaffold.
So he was going to be the only one to go up there. Where's Bobby at? Come on, dude. Go up as a team. How are you going to leave your...
I mean, once I saw that the damn thing broke as soon as I got up, I'd be like, nope, 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 nope. I would have noped my way out of there.
I mean, it's steady.
He gets to the top. Nope. Nope. Look at Jim hold on to his leg. Tell you what, you may not agree with everything that Jim Cornette says. I don't agree with anything Jim Cornette says. But he is a hell of a manager, boy. He's a great manager.
Very good at his job.
He's got some controversial opinions that, like I said, I myself don't even agree with. But you can't deny his talent when he was managing wrestlers back in the 80s and the 90s.
I remember running an old, or buying an old Road Warriors VHS tape, and they had like that face paint, you know, like the old school face paint, and it was so different than the face paint they wore in WWF, and I was so confused. I'm like, are these the same guys? Because their face paint was different. All shaking it. That's great.
No, they haven't even stood up yet. Oh, there we go.
They're standing up. They're coming for them.
This is not even wide at all. What?
Nah, yeah.
This is hella dangerous. WWE would not do a scaffold match anytime. At least they shouldn't. I mean, the matches themselves really aren't that good. Like, as far as from like an aesthetic standpoint, it's just like, I don't know. They're not even like that like dangerous. Like, you know, like cage matches can be like a brutal fight.
And, yeah, and at least that's like how you find it. This is more.
You can barely do anything. You're up there on this. Right, you're up there on like is that like 5 feet wide? If that?
Not even. Like, I mean, I wonder if they went through like a rehearsal or anything with that.
They didn't rehearse nothing back in the day. They would talk about it. They probably didn't even talk about it. It's like, all right, you know, you're going to hit you with the thing, we'll do the thing, and boom, 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 get out of there.
You fly off the scaffold, just make sure you land good. I would be scared shit. I'm scared of heights to begin with, so I couldn't imagine doing this in front of thousands of people.
Oh, you got sand, dirt. You better get that off the scaffold. That might be slippery.
Yeah. You got a flying road for you.
He's going to throw it at him like a baseball? Oh! Caught both of them. Didn't TNA do like a scaffold match?
Man, I don't even remember.
Pretty sure TNA did a scaffold match at one point. Almost certain TNA did a scaffold match. Probably the last one you've
seen
that's been done.
Like a scaffold.
Yeah, no. I mean, he wasn't standing or anything.
No. I don't even remember how. I think when ECW did it, they actually hung it from the ceiling. Because the ceiling, obviously, the ECW arena wasn't big. So they hung the scaffold from the ceiling.
That's...
And then I think it was Brian Lee and Tommy Dreamer, maybe. Or, but I remember someone fell through tables that were set up in the ring. So kind of like cushion fall in a way.
Good luck with that.
There were no tables in this match, that's for sure. Its legs are dangling.
Yeah, this is not super exciting. I mean, I guess, you know, the element of danger is always a thing. I mean, look at Bobby Heaton right now. Like, that's a precarious position.
Yeah, I would never do what he's
Sweet Jesus. Oh, he's trying to adjust his arm? Woo! Oh! There's no training for the wrestling school, I'll tell you that.
And thank goodness for the animal, his leg, for being that strong.
Hey, how strong is animal's leg?
Jeez.
My leg would have fell off. I got a grown man hanging on my leg? You would have ripped my leg off, bro. Or my, out of its socket or something, like something bad would have happened to
me.
Like, I would have just dragged me off. I would have gone down with him. Falling precariously to the ground. Uh-oh. Is that Conjury bleeding?
Yeah. We got blood in the scaffold match.
Oh, it's both bleeding. Oh, man. At the same time.
How did he even get busted open?
One of them, I think... What's the name? Bobby Eaton had his head slammed onto the scaffold.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that one. I'm looking at the structure of this. Because this isn't the first time I've watched it, but I'm trying to pay attention to some of the things I'm going to miss before. And, but that's a
long way down.
These four men, because I would not be able to do that. And even what happens after. Kudos to Jim Cornette for... Never for anything he said, but for what he did at the end of this match. It was just crazy.
Oh. God, that stuff.
So I guess the winner.
Those, like, pipes? That stuff is not sturdy at all. Like, that stuff can look like it can just snap off and just break, and fall onto the ground.
Don't even look like ladders and oil derricks or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Animals is just standing there for like 20 seconds now.
Hawk is hanging on literally by one arm.
Yeah.
He's a strong man, but that's still kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah. Because you just imagine like the perspiration going on and
right. Slip.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know how that helps.
You gotta love Dennis Condrey's shirt and how it's like tied up at the bottom. It doesn't really pull you out. You gotta love that. That's definitely an 80s look with the American flag shirt. And the mullet, of course.
Sweet. Those were the heels calling cards back then. So I guess I don't remember if I ever heard them say the rules, and I just assume it's whoever lands in the ring, right?
Yeah, I don't even remember.
I don't even think they're pinfalls.
Like, look at how animal, like, if that thing felt like, oh man, oh, Bobby's trying to monkey bars.
Yeah.
You gotta be strong. I would fall so fast.
Yeah.
To be hanging up there, man. I give him credit, man. That's some upper body strength. Oh!
Oh,
boy. Oh! Oh! Oh, Bobby's gone. Oh, god damn, that hurt. There's no way that didn't hurt. It could have ended way worse.
Yeah.
As you'll see, you know, with Jim Cornette soon. But that hurt, though. So. That probably left the bruise, at least.
Landed better. There's such a thing, but...
eaten? I don't know. He landed like on his hip.
Oh, yeah, it was more, I guess, like parallel to the ring than Condry.
Yes, he could have got. He could have landed on his hip though. Look at Jim Cornette.
When he can move.
Fans are going. Can you crazy imagine
how great his match against Jose Lothario in my games would have been if he didn't suffer this injury that we're about to see?
Look at the fans are going crazy. They really want to see Jim Cornette fall from the scaffold.
Yeah.
Oh no, here we go. Bubba Rogers is supposed to catch him. Just did not catch him. Jim Cornette's like, oh God.
What was he doing?
Oh, Bubba Rogers is supposed to catch him. He just didn't. Bernie was way off.
Dude, he landed so bad.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It's a fire.
Yeah, his voice was a little high.
Oh, man. I mean, can you blame him, though?
Not at all.
He's supposed to get caught.
Not at all.
That was funny as hell.
Yeah, they're going to show... I don't know if they show the replay of Cornette falling, but they'll show...
Oh, they got him.
The replay here. See, you'll see. I think he even fell... Because Condry falls... Like on his feet, all, like Cornette, similar to Cornette.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then I think he, like,
I guess. Oh, he just. I mean, there's no good way to take spot, right? Like,
yeah,
it's gonna hurt.
There's a bad way, and then there's a worse way.
Right. It's so gravity is still gravity.
Eating had the bad way out of those three.
Wrestling is scripted. Gravity is 100% real every time.
Gravity.
Every single time.
Too funny. It's like, why didn't Cornette just like run to the back?
Right.
Could have saved his knees.
Why would you just run up there? Like, that's not a better place to be. Yeah, like you said, run backstage.
Yeah, you're like literally.
Run to the stands.
Climb that.
What was he hoping to go? Like, did he just hold on for dear life or something?
The rowers be too scared to go up there again. So he'd be safe up there.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see it again. Yeah, I think Bubba is in the ring.
He's just supposed to catch him. He's right there. Boom. And then just goes, oh, Jesus.
My goodness.
Look at his face. Oh, they freeze frame on him.
Yeah.
He's in agony.
Yeah, I don't even remember what his technical injury were to his knees. I just know that that's the moment.
This is a four-hour show, damn near, by the way. It's 3 hours and 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Too long.
You want to watch the cage match?
Eh. Want to save that one?
We can save it.
Save it.
For another time. By the way, also thought about, you know, that's Veterans Stadium.
What? Where?
The guy parachuting down. He's parachuting down at Veterans Stadium. They had Great American Bash that year was in one of the events was in Philly at the Vet.
Really?
Yeah, you look it up.
How did I not know that? Or maybe I didn't.
You gotta get on it. I don't know. I think this is they're showing a clip from it right now. I think this is it.
Well, I paused it. So
Jim Cornette is in the ring right now, getting beat up by this baby doll. Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express.
No.
Double drop kick on Jim Cornette. I'm pretty sure this is in this clip they're showing. And then he went to RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. Yeah, that was a big deal. All right. But what was I going to say? We're also thinking about live commentating in three consecutive weeks. So not this week, obviously, but soon. All three matches from the Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat trilogy from 1989. So, Chi-Town Rumble, Clash of Champions 6, WrestleWar. Three consecutive weeks, three classic matches. Jim Ross calling each match with a different partner. So, yeah. Look out for that in the coming weeks. But that's in the coming weeks. For this show, it is time to wrap it up for episode 236. So, Nick, take us out with some plugs, please.
All right. And by the way, I did also post on Twitter, at Nick Bacone on Twitter. Just said Twitter twice, like you don't know where Twitter is, twitter.com. Reggie White clip from Nitro in 1997 when they came to Philly and Mongo called him out. It was all lead up to their pay-per-view match, Slammarie. I have it on my Twitter at Nick Bacone, so check it out. It's good stuff. Reggie tackles him, spears him. It's awesome.
By the way, quick aside, apparently there's a new AHL team called, it's going to be the Golden Knights affiliate, right? They're called the Henderson Silver Knights. Henderson, Nevada, is where the kid was from who got the first house at the first In Your House. Remember, he moved to Nevada from New York, so he didn't move into the house that they gave him in Orlando. But was it Matt Pompaselli, I think his name was?
Yes.
He lived in Henderson, Nevada. So I don't know if he's still there, but they got a new hockey team coming. The Henderson Silver Knights, apparently.
Well, congratulations to Mark for that. You see how everything revolves around Todd Penfield? Everything.
Hey, Golden Knights affiliate team. So
there you go. Maybe he'll be an in-game host there. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. you can follow me at Nick Bacone on Twitter. I do good stuff. And also follow us at Shooters Radio on Twitter. And check my work and others' work at PhillyInfluencer.com. And you can catch this podcast at PhillyVoice.com.
I am at Vaughn M. Johnson on Twitter. You won't find me out here in these streets, but you might find me on social media. Make sure to check out our podcast on all of our platforms, including Patreon, patreon.com/shootersradio. You can subscribe to some exclusive content for the small fee of $1.99. So yeah, check us out there. Check us out on all the platforms that Nick said.
According to Fightful, Mike Tyson was offered $1 million.
Good for him.
But that was for boxing, so never mind.
Okay. Not from AEW?
No. I was waiting for that. You know, and Fightful is a pretty good source for information nowadays. One of the few trusted sources, but yeah, it was for boxing, so never mind.
Well, there you go. But check us out there. Check us out, you know, on platforms such as Pandora. So shout out to our Pandora listeners and listeners everywhere else on these here interwebs. So thank you for listening to episode 236 for Nick Bacone. I'm Vaughn Johnson. Make sure to check us out next week for episode 237. We'll be back talking about more wrestling and another live commentary. Maybe one of those Flair Steamboat matches from 1989. But until then, good night. We'll see you next week.